Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and it's not just Friday. It's follow-up Friday, where we clear up some things that came up earlier in the week. On Wednesday, in my conversation with FCC Chairman Julius Genachowski about the new personal localized alerting network plan for mobile phones, we played the sound of the emergency broadcast system noise.
This is a test of the emergency broadcast system.
A listener later pointed out that the emergency broadcast system and that announcement was phased out and replaced by the emergency alert system in 1997. The new emergency alert noise for TV and radio is this. Aren't you glad we cleared that up and subjected you to that? That noise would have been followed by announcements about the emergency and what to do if it had been an actual emergency. And now the new cell phone alert noise will sound something like this. Again, they're not stopping alerts for broadcasting if necessary. This is for cell phones. And this is a demo sent to us by the FCC, unfortunately after we had the FCC chairman on. But this is a draft, a beta test. It hasn't been finalized yet. Do you like it? Doesn't have a beat, can't dance to it, but the government may impose that on your cell phone in case of an emergency. And again, those were all just for demonstration purposes. There is no emergency at this time. And now on to hawk news. You might have heard us talking about Violet and Bobby last week during Bird Week. They're the red-tailed hawks who have been perched on the ledge of NYU President John Sexton's office. Thousands of people have been fixated on the hawk cam that the New York Times set up, which has been trained on the nest for weeks. On Friday, when Jamie Floyd was sitting in for me hosting the show, we went live to NYU because against all odds, one of the eggs had hatched and a live little baby red-tailed hawk emerged. Over the weekend, though, wildlife experts became concerned about Violet's leg. It was very swollen, and they thought they might have to intervene. So far, no one has intervened, but they're still monitoring the situation closely. Emily Rube, senior producer at the Metro desk at the Times, is back with me now. She's been on the scene nonstop monitoring Violet and the baby. Hi, Emily. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks for having me.
And also joining us is Steve Zahn, Natural Resources Program Supervisor at the Department of Environmental Conservation. They've been monitoring Violet's health. Steve, thank you for joining me.
Sure, good morning.
And Steve, what's the latest? How is Violet? How is the baby?
Well, today things still look as normal as they have over the recent weeks. They're behaving as you would want a wild mother and hatchling to behave.
And Emily, you've been there. What's the scene over there? Is this a crisis mode kind of situation?
Well, it's been very interesting to watch how attached viewers have become. I ran into several people on the street yesterday who were on the scene because they heard that there was going to be a possible intervention. There was a lot of hand-wringing and pacing and, you know, comments on the blog also reveal that people have been watching this very closely, and the anxiety levels were very high yesterday in particular.
Listeners, any hawk cam watchers out there want to call up and weigh in or ask a question? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And Steve, there's a policy issue here, which is that her leg is swollen because of a wildlife tag around her ankle. When did that get placed on her? What's it for? And to people who are wondering, when is it legitimate for human beings to intervene and tag a bird like that?
Well, based on the information that we were able to retrieve from the tag, the federal government has let us know that the bird was tagged in October of 2006, somewhere in the Delaware water gap. In the New Jersey area, and they use these tags so they can track animals over time. We can learn something about their behavior, their migratory patterns, things like that. human intervention with the animals, it's always a tricky thing. By putting tags on animals, for instance, we gain lots of valuable information that helps us to manage these populations and know how best we can interact with the wildlife that we continue to encroach upon in our development. But at the same token, we know that there's an impact associated with that, and we have to be pretty careful about when we come in and interact with wildlife, whether it's to tag them in the first instance or, in this case, whether we need to go in there and do something about the tag that's in place.
Emily, are you getting response from listeners who are not just concerned about the birds, but also kind of asking, what have we human beings done?
I think there's a lot of that. We interviewed a woman yesterday who felt very strongly that humans were created this, what she called mess, which I'm not sure if it is a mess. I think that we had the best possible outcome yesterday in the decision not to intervene with the birds. But a lot of people are still asking, you know, why. I think they're asking themselves, actually, why do I care so much about these birds?
Why do you think, Steve, that people care so much about these birds?
Well, I think it's instinctive with folks. They're very empathetic when they see injured wildlife. It's kind of a normal human reaction. It's just in this particular case with the webcam, so many people have had the opportunity to live with Violet and the chick that I think that's just... It really heightened those feelings.
On our Facebook page, Jen writes, completely obsessed since day one. Clearly, living in New York City, I don't get enough nature exposure. It's been an emotional roller coaster. The eggs weren't going to hatch, then they did. I caught it live by luck. Then her leg injury, then they were capturing her, then they weren't. She's an inspiration in motherhood. Once her baby
it's
is viable...
Opera.
What? Yes, it's a soap opera. It's an avian soap opera. And Steve, what about that decision not to intervene after you were planning to intervene yesterday?
Well, when we spent a lot of time yesterday, myself and Dr. Beth Bunting from Cornell, mm-hmm. veterinarian, looking at the bird and really observing what was going on with her and how she was functioning. And while you can tell that the leg is bothering her, it's clear that she's able to care for the young, to move around, to function properly, and that was really an important factor for us. And then subsequent to that, we got additional information which suggested that this leg has been swollen for quite a long time, maybe as far back as last March. So she's been living with this condition, may have even nested previously with this condition, and done also all of this successfully. So we had a bird that seemed to be functioning well. If you were going to take action at that point in time, there's a lot of risk associated with trying to collect the bird. There's risk to the adult, there's risk to the hatchling, and there's risk to the personnel that would have to attempt the rescue. And on balance, considering that there was no immediate medical urgency to act, mm-hmm. we thought it was best to stand back, take some time, let the situation develop and unfold, but continue to pay close attention to it.
Bobby, the dad, is often there as well. Do you think he knows that Violet's health is compromised, and is he compensating in any way?
Well, I don't know about that, but I can tell you he's an excellent provider.
Indeed. If you've been watching the Hawk Cam, Violet and the IAS have been eating very well.
Does he work on Wall Street or what? Emily, does the baby have a name yet? Should we get some suggestions?
We are soliciting reader suggestions for that on the blog right now on City Room. And we do have some favorites. Archie is one of them in honor of the Washington Square Arch that the nest looks out upon.
Clever.
Vita was another one for life. But we would love to hear more suggestions.
All right. So, listeners, we only have a couple of minutes in the segment. If you want to call right up and suggest a name for this baby hawk, you can at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or perhaps most appropriately, tweet it at us. at Brian Lehrer, and we'll collect any list of names and send it over to Emily with the collection that they've got going at the New York Times. Tweet at Brian Lehrer or post it to our comments page at WNYC.org. Mary in Gramercy Park, you're on WNYC. Hi, Mary.
Hi.
You raise birds, huh?
I raise tiny little zebra finches.
Wow. And what do you think about this situation?
Well, I've been watching it for quite a bit, and I believe that the main major problem came when she had that string tied around her leg, and she couldn't seem to release herself for a while, and then everybody noticed how bad the leg was, number one. And number two, it seemed to be worse, so that now I think it's less bad than it had been, because I do watch it pretty steadily.
Yeah.
And, I'm happy they didn't do the major intervention they were going to and remove both of them to the Bronx Zoo and blah, blah, blah.
Thank you very much. Steve, one of my producers has been watching the Hawk Cam and is wondering, why is Violet often sitting directly on top of her baby?
Well,
babysitting.
That's right, because the hatchling right now doesn't have much in the way of a coat to keep itself warm. So she's actually sitting on the hatchling much as she did when the hatchling was in the egg. She needs the warmth from her mother.
Rebecca in the East Village has a name. Hi, Rebecca.
Weehawken.
Fabulous. Only better if it was in New Jersey. Daisy in Crown Heights, you're on WNYC. You have a name?
Yes, hi. I'd like to suggest Miguel.
And why Miguel?
Well, I wanted my dog to be named Miguel, and I couldn't because he came with the name Charlie, and so I would like to suggest that. Also, it would include a little diversity with the birds.
And why not? Do we know if it's a boy or a girl?
No, we won't know for a while. Well, Steve, you know more about this than I do.
No, but you're right. That's exactly it. Generally, it's hard to tell with hawks, even when they get to maturity. So we certainly don't know at this stage.
So Miguel or Miguelito or Richard in New York, you're on WNYC with a name. Hello?
Hi. I would recommend York.
York for New York?
York. Yes.
Oh, that's a good one.
And if you say it with a New York accent, then it's York the Hawk. And let's see. Who do we have here? James in Manhattan, you have a name?
Yeah, Neil.
Neo. That's good. It's any baby anything, I guess, is a Neo. But then she has to, or he has to grow up with that name when they're not a Neo anymore. I guess we have to leave it there. There's the latest on Violet the Hawk and Bobby and the baby, perhaps soon to be named Archie or Weehawken. And we want to thank Steve Zahn, Natural Resources Program Supervisor at the Department of Environmental Conservation, and Emily Rube, Senior Producer at the Metro Desk of the Times. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And listeners, you can check out the Hawk Cam yourself or tweet us your name suggestions at Brian Lehrer. Thank you so much for listening all this week, everybody. Have a great weekend. Talk to you Monday. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.